Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 358. What's that got to do with you? Hashtag sorry, not sorry. Well, the hashtag sorry, not sorry is not going to be in the title, but it was a definite afterthought because there's a level of coldness that comes with being more pro you. And it's distancing yourself from your feelings. It's having that separation. What are the things happening in your life and you? External, internal. And once you get that, some may call you awoke. But you just be able to see things that clearly have nothing to do with you, unless you let them. Like I've said this a few times, it's like a movie's playing. I say, hey, turn around, check out that movie. And you turn around, you see the TV screen. You start watching the movie, and you start getting really afraid, and you just start getting stressed out and worried, and you're just like thinking this movie is really happening. And that was a choice. You allowed that to come in, enter, dominate, take over the space between your ears, which is an option, which is a choice. But you can also choose to not allow that to happen. That's the work. That's the pro-you stuff. That's deeming yourself worthy. Okay, wait a minute. I don't want to watch that movie because that hasn't happened yet. It's not happening. You know, that movie, that narrative, the family stuff, the work stuff, the relation stuff, the money stuff, those are all narratives. Those are all just stories floating around. And if you don't give your monkey brain something to do, it'll grab one of those and latch onto it. And pretty soon you'll be thinking it's real. It's got nothing to do with you. So now, case in point, I'm in my apartment, Zen Garden. I call it that because it's like filled with Zen. It's just really a dope, peaceful place. And I'm foam rolling, which brings me peace whilst playing with my dog, my best friend Zen, the majestic spiritual being that he is. Meanwhile, I know there's some police cars outside arresting some people. I take some pictures, post it, lay back down, continue foam rolling, get comments, messages, stay safe, Tom. I was the whole time. There was never one moment when I wasn't safe or not staying safe. That had nothing to do with me. Now, if those cops came busting through the door chasing those people with guns, Tom, stay safe, I would understand. So, again, that's that. Sorry, not sorry. It sounds a lot cold. Wow, it's like people are just trying to be nice. And I'm like, no, it's just a different line. Like when you apologize all the time, it's a sign of something else. If you're telling someone who's completely fine and good and solid and has nothing to worry about, like, hey, I was worried about you. That's about you. That's wasted energy, wasted time. And again, I just start seeing that more and more clearly. If I'm looking at you on a computer screen, talking to you, and I can see you stand, sit, four limbs, see you're living in some sort of shelter, dwelling, I know that you've eaten, be pretty hard to tell me anything's wrong, where anything that's happening right now is affecting you. Unless something reached through the screen and grabbed you and started choking you, and be like, aha, there's something that's affecting you right now. That's something that you should focus on. But as you sit in that chair in, you know, across from the computer screen, I'm looking at you. It don't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter your family status, your economic status, your social status, nothing. I'm looking at you. You're fine. Therefore, you're fine. And everything else really got nothing to do with you. And the closer you can, the faster you can, the quicker you can get there, stay there, hang there, live there, occupy, embrace, own. Pro you. That's all I'm talking about. Come to my well, buy the water I sell. That's what I'm selling on today's episode. And by the way, just asterisks, I thought this was one of my best episodes. And I don't know why, but I just run through it. It seemed the beginning, a middle, and end with a recurring theme that I kept kind of coming back to. There was flow to it. And I really didn't have a clue before I started. So, way to go, Tom. Enjoy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whichever it may be. I'm Tom. I do that pro-you thing. I'm going to read some quotes. That's one thing I do. Quotes. I do quotes. Being calm about everything allows your mind to find solutions. Calmness is also a state of trust. Instead of overthinking and overreacting, you just surrender for that moment and allow yourself to receive guidance for what doesn't make sense. The ego, however, is not who you really are. The ego is your self-image, your social mask. It is the role you are playing. Your social mask thrives on approval. It wants control, and it is sustained by power because it lives in fear. Fall in love with taking care of yourself. Fall in love with the path of deep healing. Fall in love with becoming the best version of yourself, but with patience, with compassion, and respect to your own journey. Vibrate so high that toxicity has no choice but to fall out of your frequency. Trust yourself. You have survived a lot, and you will survive whatever's coming. Scrolling. In Zen, I love this one. It's funny as I found a dope quote and I just start throwing it around. I just start saying it all the time. It just seems to fit because I like it in every conversation I have. In Zen, we don't find the answers. We lose the questions. I mean, honestly, is there anything better than that? And it uses the word Zen. Hello. And I put it on a image, photo of a stone balance I did. But when I was in Tahoe and that girl, a friend of mine down balanced that stone. And I said, facing fear allows possibility. And it just stuck with me because it really makes sense. Well, if I can do that, and I didn't think I could, what else can I do? It's not the end of the physical body that should worry us. Rather, our concern should be to live while we're alive, to release our inner selves from the spiritual death that comes with living behind a facade, designed to conform to external definitions of who we and what we are. Pay attention to your patterns. The ways you learn to survive may not be the ways you want to continue to live, heal, and shift. I'm going to end with this one, and I'm going to explain a diagram. That should be fun, right? But I sent this to my friend. And it's just this basic flow chart. Question in a circle, line one direction, answering no. Line the other direction, answering yes. Do you have stress? No. Line goes this way, goes to a circle. Keep doing what you're doing. Do you have stress? Yes. Line goes to this. Do you like stress? Yes. Line goes back to keep doing what you're doing. Do you like stress? No. Line goes, identify what serves you and what doesn't serve you. No. Keep doing what you're doing. Yes. Stop doing what doesn't serve you. No. Keep doing what you're doing. Yes. Do you enjoy now having less stress? No. Keep doing what you were doing. Yes. You're welcome. And it's kind of just point out this friend who stated in one moment. And this is kind of trippy. This is the stuff I see, and I go, yeah, I use that third eye now. And they look at me weird. I'm like, yeah, I agree. I mean, 3-4 years ago, up until I was 52, I probably would have looked at you weird, too, if you'd have said, my third eye. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But it just, in this quote, said you see something that other people can't see, and it's kind of like you're supposed to tell them. And that happens all the time. And this friend of mine who I care about and love deeply says, you know, I got a lot, some stress, you know, just haven't had that, you know, and now I kind of got a lot of it, and because I typically just work through lunch. And I said, well, I do note how much time you spend on the social media, kind of really pumping the horn on your opinion on this one matter. And I'm like, what does that do for you? I mean, there's no way it serves you. There's just nothing that I mean, it's almost, I mean, doesn't it add to your stress? I mean, if somehow you're working so much and stressed so much that you skip lunch by choice, but yet somehow, some way you make time to do that, you know, fist pumping over there. So, I came up with this line. And this, it's not always like the fun thing, but it's like on the mirror. And, you know, heavy is the head that holds the crown. What's that got to do with you? It was just like this thing that just kept coming to me when people started talking. Because I really worked on that with me. And it got to a point where I really don't do it that much. I catch myself right away. And now that's a muscle. It got stronger. So now I'm catching other people do it. They say, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What's that got to do with you? I mean, if you're saying you're this way because of this external thing, what's this external thing got to do with how you are? It's what you're focused on. It's the choices you're making. I mean, I'm standing here talking to you, loving you, digging you, respecting you. You're this close friend. You're going, you know, I'm emptying my cup over here to do this thing that doesn't serve me. And I'm like, I shouldn't point that out? Or you can't see that? Or if you can see it, why are you choosing to do it when I know you want to keep evolving? You want to raise your frequency, your vibration. You want to become a better you. But yet you're doing this thing that obviously, you know, just fact, black and white, does not serve you. You don't gain from that at all. And nothing is gained by you doing it. And then I'm like, well, I'm thinking, you know, I made a note. Title. What's that got to do with you? Hashtag sorry, not sorry. Because it's, I was talking to Mosher about this, but there's this almost like, well, that's kind of cold. Well, yeah. It kind of is. You know, when you take out the feeling, you're like, oh, you take out the feeling, that's cold. So how can that? I didn't know what that meant either for 50-some years. So I get it. And I told Scotty, we were talking, and I said, this wrestling coach, when I was living in the city of Orange, I was kind of helping out this high school wrestling team, and really in a bad place in my head at that time. And I'm, you know, just everything about that. And I was, you know, day to day, you know, growing. I mean, I was proud of myself, but man, when I think back to, there was not one foothold, and I was bopping around and had no clue, like lost. But, you know, I was going to church, I was going to AA, I was going to a men's group, and I was trying to serve at this high school wrestling team. So, you know, yay Tom. You know, I was doing stuff. I wasn't just sitting around drinking a beer. You know what I mean? I was so, it's like, yay, I'm so proud of me. You know, I got through that. I was growing through what I was going through. But now I'm so happy and peaceful and content and comfortable just talking about that time. I spent almost 2 years in that city of Orange. And it was just, I digress. At one time, this wrestling coach, who was a strong dude, like his team was state champions. He was an awesome dude. He was, you know, hardcore Christian, but he's just a good guy. And one day he said to me, he goes, you just, you know, you're always talking about your feelings. And I remember just going, what? Well, you know, inside just spinning, you know, I feel a lot. I happen to be feeling. And never understood what he meant by that. But I didn't take offense because he was a good guy. And it never left. Because here I am. I mean, it's got to be 8, 9 years later. And I'm going, yeah, stop thinking about your feelings so much. That's not how you do it. I'm like, wow. So number one, it's hard. It takes a long time. I get that. But number two is correct. All this stuff around you really, really has nothing to do with you. And hey, there was a question. Dude looked at me. He said, it's Wednesday at 2 o'clock. How are you right now? I'm like, well, and I go, no, just right now. You're looking at me sitting here. I'm looking at you. I'm thinking you're like, how are you? And I'm like, good. And he goes, well, that's it. You got four limbs. You're sitting here. You're able to talk. You're functioning. You can stand. You can sit. Obviously, you've had some food. I believe you have a shelter that you came from, a dwelling. And that obviously never left either. And I said, well, you know, this whole thing about me growing, I mean, that was 48. I didn't say I was going to go on a spiritual journey until I was 52. Now I'm 55. So we got some time invested into this little journey I'm sharing. But I never, how are you right now? I'm looking at someone. You're like, I'm looking at you right now. Four limbs above ground. You've eaten. You have a shelter. I know you have a job. I know you have family. I mean, I'm like, you cannot tell me that anything's wrong. I'm not even going to believe you. And if you start talking about stuff that's got nothing to do with you, I'm going to point that out. When I started saying, if someone swings at you, you might have to block or duck. And then maybe you have to defend yourself or attack after that. But until... Or Tommy Lama, someone swings at you, why are you thinking about them? Why are you allowing precious space between your ears to be occupied with anything that doesn't serve you, that's got nothing to do with you? You know, kind of like when a couple people were getting arrested below my apartment. And I got texts going, Tom, stay safe. Because I had posted that. And I was like, when the texts, you know, messages came, I was foam rolling. But then, like, stay safe. What do you mean? Like, that had nothing to do with me. No. Austin, they busted through my door. And cops were chasing them with guns. And you said, Tom, stay safe. I'm like, thank you. Appreciate that. That was kind of gnarly. People were inside my house running around being chased by cops with guns. But what was outside of my apartment? Hashtag outside of what affects me. What's it got to do with me? I can, and there's eight people outside my little area, and it bothered me that they're in my area just watching, and it just bugged me, and I kept walking out because it was like, I don't know, they all, like, a few of them were wearing masks, and I'm like, you're wearing masks, but you're all clumped together in a group, and I'm like, what are you, and I'm like, and now I walked out the second time, I go, hey, you can watch people get arrested on TV, a bunch of channels, any channel you pick, you probably see people being arrested right now. I didn't yell it or scream it, but I just walked back in the house because, you know, part of my thing is like, you know, you're not going to change people. Don't waste your energy. But I'm also going to say something because they were kind of invading my space. But it was just, and then all of a sudden I just started here's my pie. I started lifting up my white, my dry erase board and going, right there, you can't read it. And like, people can't read it through my computer camera, but I still would put it up going, look, like I'm proving it. What's that got to do with you? Hashtag sorry, not sorry. And it was like Thursday, and then it was Friday, and then it was Saturday. And then I was like, still hadn't recorded the podcast. And I'm telling everybody about this podcast I'm going to record. And it just was this weird little thing, like all these moments where I was typically going to, something came up or something changed or I was doing something different. And I don't know, there just seems to be more noise in the afternoon, but I don't know if I feel more distracted in the afternoon, but it's just, I'm focused in the morning, I'm best in the morning, it's quiet in the morning, like do it in the, you know, in the morning. And yeah, so here it is Monday morning, and now it's like kind of the second time, I don't know if it's California or Los Angeles, probably just Los Angeles, but we're kind of in a thing shut down again, so it's a little bit more quiet, which is on one hand that kind of eerie, weird thing, but I've enjoyed it, and it's happened before, so I like it. It just, a little more quiet is fine with me, and I'm like, okay, and I look down, and I've typically, sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to take a picture, because this is my process, and I got all my notes on my dry erase board. And I have some sticky notes. Well, this is like scattered notes on a dry erase board filled with a bunch of sticky notes. Because I never really got it organized because I wasn't recording it. And I kind of had other things happening and other things I was writing down. So I was like, oh my God, where am I going to go with this thing? Sorry, not sorry. That's where you're going. So there's just some stories. And, you know, the names aren't important. The stories are important. But like the first one, I just said to that friend, I go, you know, what's that got to do with you? And sent from love, you know, just coming from a place of love, hoping it's received in a place of love, and I mean that wholeheartedly. So I was talking to another friend / client, and at one point he started saying something. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, you don't know what's going to happen with your job, right? He goes, wait, they say this. Said, yeah, they say that now, but come fall, they could change their mind, they could do a one, but you don't know, so don't put any time and energy into that. That got nothing to do with you right now. Nods said. I said, and your spouse, you definitely don't have any control over what her occupation, employment dealio is going to be. And if you're doing that, again, that doesn't serve. So again, it was just this, none of this stuff. And then, but I go on, you know, it's like, well, Tom, you don't have to worry about that. And you don't, and I'm like, okay, well, hold up. Now, at some point, you will find out. And that's when you execute, you get involved, you make a choice. Just nothing until then, because you can't. I'm going to think about that thing until, for 3 months. Fantastic. Where's that energy going? How's that serving you? What's that got to do with you? Hashtag sorry, not sorry. my boy got it, nodded. I'm like, that's why I'm here. I'm just here to point this stuff out. I'm not jumping up and down because I see something you don't. But if I'm saying I love you, should I not point out the obvious one thing that you're doing that's taking away from you becoming a better you? Thank you. So this name I will mention, maybe you've heard of him, Chris Hardwick. So he's at another dwelling of his, and he kind of set up where there's nothing happening in this room, and he's got a mat there, and he put a couple weights and some bands, and it was just this perfect scenario. And the same thing, I pick up the dry erase board and go, see, I just wrote this down. You can't see it, but it says, what's that got to do with you? And we finished, and I said, I'm going to tell you something, Chris. I said, I just watched you work out in this little room. And it's like there's nothing in this room. It's just kind of just a real empty room. And he laid a mat, and, you know, he's got the dumbbells and one ball and some bands, and it's just empty. And I go, I watched you work out. I've known you a long time, and I know you felt good, and I know you feel good. In order to do what you just did, you have to be the best you. It's just, that's the, you know, the picture that you painted. I'm the mirror. That's the image. You're the image. This is the reflection. It just doesn't lie. And my point being, you're just in this room, and I can't tell anything about what's around you. If it's, you know, big, small, fancy, not what car you drove up. You know what I mean? There's nothing to really tell anything about you if someone watched you in this room except what you did and what you owned. I said, so you couldn't even tell me anything's not good because I wouldn't believe you because I just saw you. I saw you just demonstrate, I am fine. I am the best of me. That was a fantastic workout. I did that. I got here. You just screamed that for 40 minutes. And I believe you. So you can't tell me that there's anything going on that's taken away from that. Because none of that stuff has anything to do with you. Now, how you got to this place took a long time. Took a very long time. Wasn't easy. My boy's been through some things. And it was kind of my point. And I can just tell that to everyone. Share that story with everyone. And they really don't have a comeback. You know, there's always this thing where he kind of looks down and he just smiles. Because he knows I'm right. Last time I was wrong was 1973. Write that down. So, I get, this week was huge with Mosher notes. So many, my head was overfilled. We talked for an hour. And then we worked out Tuesday. We talked for 45 minutes Thursday. And then we worked out. Oh, and then after on Tuesday we talked. And after, I mean, it was just, and partly it's kind of in that place where I get my role in his life. And it's kind of become a pretty cool, important thing. And I'm just honored by it. You know, we chat, text kind of daily sometimes. But his plate is full, and his life is kind of changing, and his priorities are changing, and the direction he's moving is changing. He doesn't really know where, so it's a kind of a stop, pause, reflect. And I'm like, aha, been there, done that. Wow, I can share some thoughts with my boy. And I'm like, that fires me up. And then it's like he had two dogs, 2019, and abruptly at the end of 2019, his one dog died, and him and his wife weren't even in town. And it was a shock because the one they still have alive is the one that wasn't doing well. So the one that's alive, who's not doing that well, got worse. And I understand that more than anyone. I'm a dog lover. I had a dog put to sleep. So he's walking that line right now with his wife. And then his wife is going into for some dental work. And that's my other thing. I'm like, oh my God. Like, the two things I don't ever want to go through again are dental things and a dog thing. And I'm probably going to go through both. But him just saying that he's personally experiencing both of those, I was like, okay, there's just one thing. I got to scream. It was like, okay, your plate is full with one of those, let alone two. And I'm like, if you're trying to do anything else except stay afloat, wasted time and energy, you know, because it's going to take, like, I think about like 6 months overall for his wife to go through this whole process. But today is actually like the first surgery. But it's like, you know, Buddy, their dog, is like kind of day to day and changes. And and the great thing was, you know, I'm training him and his wife on Saturday, but when I saw them and I saw them work out, I mean, it's like they look like each other, like they match, and they're wearing clothes that kind of matched, and they really moved well together. And I just stopped them mid-workout and I go, okay, I got to say this. I just want you to know that I completely understand how full your guys' plates are. I mean, I'm telling you, your guys' plates are full. So please understand you should be feeling that, and you should be aware of that and be okay with it, not judging yourself. And number two, try not to be doing anything huge right now, accomplishing or getting anything. Surviving right now would just be fantastic. And then I said, lastly, it's so dope to see you too. Because I said, I get what Buddy's going through, but I said, how happy am I as a dog owner that this dog has two parents that, like, love him and are doing, like, everything above and beyond to make sure that this dog is comfortable. It's just like, well, if you loved a dog like that, would you not want owners like that? And I'm like, okay, perfect. And I said, and you have each other. I said, that's awesome. I said, I have not thought, oh, hey, until I kind of started training those two. Because just seeing there, it's a union. Like, it's almost talking to one entity, because they're that entwined. And that's what gives them strength. And I'm like, you got to be thankful for that. And then you also have to be thankful how you move. I mean, they're both fit. You know, they both have done Pilates, and, you know, they're just, you know, they're strong and they're fit. And I said, there's just a lot for you guys to be thankful for. And I said that like mid-workout. And I believed in my heart they were supposed to hear that. And I believe in my heart that they were very thankful to hear that. We went on and, you know, we had this, you know, fantastic workout. And throughout the workout, I would just be like impressed with something. Like, they would move like really in sync together. And I got, you know, one of them holding the end of the band as kind of the anchor, and the other one using the handles and doing a move. And the one that's holding, you know, the band as an anchor, I got them doing a move. So they're moving kind of simultaneously together. And they have mobility and they have flexibility and they have core strength. And those are kind of the three things I'm stressing right now on my path. And so every once in a while, I just pulled my camera up and I'd take a little video of him moving for a couple of seconds. And no, I just deal why, but at the end, I was like, oh, I'm just going to put this all together. So I put together this little video, and then I put music to it, and I sent it to him. And I watched this thing like 5 or 6 times, and it was a minute long. And I loved it. Like, I mean, I'm not that talented of a dude, but it wasn't that hard to just put together these scenes and edit it and put a cool song on it, but I just loved it. And then I send it to him, and he texts back, and I said, dude, I said, I love that video. I said, I've watched it, like I said, I've watched it a few times already. And he goes, we have too. And then the next morning, he goes, Alex watched it again and said, she looked better than I did, or something like that. It was just cute, because now, see, there it was. They're now momentarily thinking about their workout, the things I said, feeling good. I send this video, they're watching what I watched. They're feeling what I felt. And it was just like, I get to do that. Like, there's no agenda. There was no after I'm gonna, or I hope I get back. It was just me being present as a mofo and staying there for each and every moment. So this was just the workout, and I loved what happened and transpired. And, you know, Scotty's like, after the workout, dude, love the workout. And I'm like, you know, I'm getting that and sending a video and getting these comments back from both of them. And just, I mean, you just know you're having this positive effect. And what Scotty and I talk about now is just, nah, I'm like, dude, I'm at the bridge. Sign says go left. I said go right. Because he's just literally falling along this path of, you know, he's like, all of a sudden his, you know, work has really slowed down and he's got some other things on his plate. And I'm like, this is where you handle what's on your plate and you learn about you. And he knows that. But it's like, our dialogue is fantastic. Like, it's just, and this is one of the things he said. No mud, no lotus. And that's a great quote. You know, if someone's like, I don't want to get dirty, I don't want mud. It's like, well, you're not going to get the lotus. Now, I use stay out of the mud like kryptonite, so don't get that twisted. This kind of a different use of the term. Like, if you want to go get yourself a lotus flower, you're going to have to go where it's muddy because that's where they grow. So it's kind of yin and yang thing. But Scott said, and no idea what book he was referring to, but he said we're conditioned to what will make us whole is an external thing. And I'm like, you know, I got that. You know what I mean? Like, it made sense to me because that's, you know, kind of what I'm doing now backwards. I'm like, what's that external thing got to do with you? Oh, we're actually conditioned. He says we're born into this narrative of reality, a social construct, and we want to fit in. And I was like, wow. Born into a narrative of reality, a social construct, and from the time we're born, we just want to fit in. So, I just talking to Mosher about this stuff now, but it's been a while where I've been going like, you know, we go to this job and we work 40 hours a week and we get, you know, 2 days off and 2 weeks vacation and you go to college and then you get a job and just like this, you know, I mean, that's life and yay, and I'm not a critique, but it's like a kind of like that gerbil wheel where it's like everybody's just kind of doing it because that's kind of what we do. So when Scott said, you know, it's this narrative, it's like this, you're born into this social construct like this is, and I'm going, yeah, I was born into a neighborhood with a bunch of people who were married, who had kids, they were all white, they all had houses, they all had cars, they all went to school, they all had jobs, and I figured, you know, like at the worst possible moment of my life, I would still probably be having some kids and having a house and having a car. You know, it just was everyone around me. Not like I lived with a bunch of, you know, in a town of super, you know, highly intelligent, you know. It was like, well, it's like kind of blue collar people. And they had houses and cars. I'm like, okay, I guess that's what you'll end up getting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not critiquing anybody, but it's not like they were trying really hard. They just ended up, hey, family, yard, home. I'm like, okay, cool. But I hit that point. I'm like, well, I've tried. You know, I owned a townhome for a minute in Vegas, and I've been married twice and, you know, tried to hang out with family and tried to visit and tried to stay in touch and tried to be the best me. And at 51, I was like, I'm doing a lot of trying. So I'm going to see what happens when I don't try. And that was kind of like the sound of silence. And at the end of that, I was doing well. So the sound of silence was a dope thing. It was like, oh, this time and energy is yours now. And I was like, aha, got it, thanks, bye, see ya. And I closed that door and ran with it. And by the time I hit 52, I said, okay, you know what I'm going to do? This is exactly what I'm going to do. This, I don't know. I just know exactly what I'm not going to do. So I'm not going to pursue close family ties, friends, money, career, relationships, girls, sex. It's just, you know, that's a social construct that I've been trying to fit into and never have been able to. So I always feel like I'm failing because I'm always wanting to fit into that. I should have a girl, and I should not be alone, and I should have a good relationship with my father, and I should make a bunch of money, and I should own a house. And I'm not doing it. So it's like this constant state, you're failing in every area possible. And that's hard, like to get up in the morning and you got stress and you got worry and you got the, all that stuff going on. Yellow fill in your head, white noise screaming. And then, oh yeah, by the way, when you wake up, the first thing you're going to think about all the areas that you don't have, all the areas you're failing in, all the things you don't have of that social construct. And you're 52. Not just, and I'm like, well, dude, you just shoot yourself. I'm not joking around, I mean. I mean, I am joking around with that. It's like, it was just, you know, there's just, I mean, I, this is like, again, what? It was like, you have got to feel better. There's just got to be a way. Like, it can't be that bad. You just, if I look at you for a second, there's no way you should feel that bad. And I think a lot of people I talk to are that way right now. Why aren't I happier? Why aren't I more content? Why don't I have more peace? Why aren't I content and thankful along my path? So I got there. You know, I mean, I literally worked on that. And now I'm having these discussions and Scott's saying these things. And I'm like, got it. And they really hit home now. And that's what I'm saying. It's like I kind of evolved to a certain level or vibrate to a certain frequency where I attract certain people or certain conversations, and I'm like, oh, third eye, oh, awaken, oh, you know, all these things, these terms, terminology, verbiage that I would have either rolled my eyes at or just basically wouldn't have understood. And now I'm like throwing around like they're things I made up. But it was just, what's that got to do with you? And I could even use it, you know, bits and pieces of it with Scott. You know, pointing out, going, hey, right there, you know, you should da-da-da-da-da. And at a point going, look, I'm going to tell you this. You got to do this. You got to not think about that, and you got to focus. And he's, you know, kind of nodding. And I'm like, wow. You know, I'm saying that with conviction. You know, I'm saying that with confidence because I have conviction, you know, in what I'm saying, and I would want that. In a moment like that, I would want to be that iron that could sharpen iron. You know what I mean? You'd be so strong. You have to be that strong to affect someone so strong. And in those moments when they happen, I'm like, wow, I need not. Nothing else needed. I wrote that down. I thought that's kind of a cool little hashtag goal. Nothing else needed. I wrote this down. Old Tom, just a perfect little tangent point there. Old Tom, older version of Tom, needed to help others. Why? Because I could, but if I focused on them, it wasn't focused on me, and if I helped them, they felt better than I felt better. But I had to stay there. Why? Well, I wasn't focusing on me. I wasn't focused on the things that I needed to focus on. I wasn't growing in the ways I was supposed to. I wasn't learning what I was supposed to. I was avoiding it by focusing on others. And because it was driven by that need, there was that other stuff that I experienced. The wrong people, you know, outcomes, just a bunch of stuff that I don't have in my life anymore. This is the new version of Tom. I help people because I know I can. And therefore, I'm thankful. Hashtag nothing else needed. Like I was training a client. I'm like, I'm just here trying to say what you need to hear. Or I am saying what you need to hear. I'm telling you what to feel and I'm telling you what to think. And I wholeheartedly believe in that. And that's not ego. That's not narcissism. That's just fact. And the great part about it is because he believes me, because we've been in each other's life for a minute. And I go, there's nothing I want from that. I don't have an agenda. I don't have an ulterior motive. There's nothing above and beyond helping people right now that I want. And I know I can. So I'm like, wow, I get to. If I, you know, think, I know I can help people and I got no one to help, that would be frustrating. I know I can help people, and I got people I can help, and I got people that I really love and respect that I can help, and I totally get why I'm in their lives. And that is just peace of purpose. I like that peace of purpose. Write that down, Tom. So a lot of times, it's just that, you know, neither good or bad. We'll see. We'll see. That Scotty and I shared that story a billion times. Peace of purpose. I thought I was kidding when I said I got to write that down. That's how I am. I write that down. During a podcast, you're going to come up with stuff and make sure you write it down. So I have a client, and I've mentioned this client, and love him, and I've loved him out the gate, saw all his good, and he's in this place where he's doing way better, feeling way better, you know, being reinforced why when I make these choices, I feel better, and doing things, thinking things, saying things, feeling things for the first time ever. Do you hear that? So this is kind of that, what I see. Seeing, doing, feeling, thinking things he's never done before. So with that information, if I asked you, the listeners, do you think he's the best he's ever been, yes or no, would there be a pause? Would there be a maybe? Would there be a doubt? Or would you all just scream, well, yes. If he's thinking, seeing, doing, saying, feeling things he's never felt before, then yeah, he's the best he's ever been. Now, he may not necessarily be feeling overwhelmed with happiness because he's jumping up and down like you won the lottery because he's the best he's ever been. Because a lot of times when you're in it, you don't always see it as clear. Sometimes the fish doesn't know he's in water. So it's, yay, I'd like to be in this person's life so I can point out, dude, you're doing fabulous. Stop tripping. Hey, you're doing fabulous. Stop being so critical. And I asked him, just real quick, remember, are you not the best you've ever been? And the big pause and the big, and I was like, whoa. I said, yes or no. And he couldn't answer. And I was like, well, there's your problem. We just agreed, just chatted. In unison, you're doing, saying, feeling, experiencing things you've never done before. The only way you can do that is because you're the best you. And that screams obvious to me. And if you can't see that, I can, and I'll tell you. Now, is that my third eye? I don't care. I can just see it. And if I care and love about this person like I do, then I got to point that out. You should just be jumping up and down that you're doing, seeing, feeling, experiencing things you've never felt before. And it's along the path of, by the way, I do feel better. So it's not just, hey, all these things are crazy. No, he's doing everything. Work's going better. Life's going better. His workouts are going. Everything's going better in his life. And I'm like, okay, we need to cut out the whole judgment. So I got good news. I got bad news. I go, you bad news. You can't. You showed up. You showed up this morning on the screen opposite me. You made it through. There's no bad news. Bad news if I turned it on, you never answered. That'd be bad news. And he's like, well, I didn't get all this done. I'm like, how? And I'm like, judgment. You're doing more than you've ever done in an area you've never done squat in. So if you were doing 1% better in this one little area, yay. And you're not. You're doing like way better in a bunch of areas, all dealing with you becoming a better user. Like I said, to be repetitive and slightly redundant. Seeing, feeling, doing, experiencing things you've never, ever felt before. And if on that list you're like, oh, that one area I could work on more, yay. Knowledge is information. Knowledge is power. Yay. If you know which wheel is squeaky, is that not good news? Some people aren't looking. Some people don't know which wheel is squeaky. Some people know which wheel is squeaky and they're choosing. Yes, it's a choice not to grease that wheel. And some people don't know how to grease the squeaky wheel. And that's sad, but that's life. So if you do know what the squeaky wheel, which one is the squeaky wheel, and you have the grease to apply, then you do that. And you're glad and you're thankful. Wow. I became aware of the squeaky wheel and I immediately started applying grease. Congrats. I was a 6 out of 10 when I started talking to Tom. I feel like a 7 on the way to 8. There's no bad news in that story. And if you blah, 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 bunch of stuff that's external, I'm going to go, what's that got to do with you? You are screaming through this screen every week. I'm the best me. I'm the best me. I'm the best me. Convincing me. I bow down and I submit. You are right. You are the best you. So I'm just going to remind you that all the time. When you talk about stuff that just doesn't matter, doesn't concern you, I just point it out. When you're talking about external things affecting you, I'm going to go, what's that got to do with you? I'm looking at you. I'm feeling you. I love that I can see why I'm in people's lives. Like that's, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. Like I see my purpose, and it's not just in, you know, it's in each person. So I go, oh, I can see my purpose in each purpose in each person's lives, but that's my overall purpose, is just to help people. I got enough. I don't need any more. I'm totally content, but anybody that comes along that wants help, I can help them. I know I can. So my homework with my client was like, you know, it's neither good nor bad. You just got to stop thinking that because you're doing this, it's good. And because you're not doing that, it's bad. Because you're looking, it's good. Because you're changing, it's good. Because you're growing, it's good. Because you're doing all the things you're doing, there is no bad. But the bad is what you go putting in your head. Oh, I discovered it. It's like me, Tom, you got a temper, I know. Well, you got a really bad temper. I knew that me pointing out that I still had a temper was not going to serve me. It just wasn't. I had to be like, hey, dude, you're better in every area, and that's an area that you're aware of, and you are better at it. So just relax and be proud and be happy. And that's when I became empowered. And that's literally these last 6 months to a year where I really started getting it. I have to love me more than anyone else. I have to champion, cheerlead, support, love unconditional myself. That's what I have to do first and foremost. And then it's the great thing is like everyone else then matters less, which it should. But then you get that clarity and that confidence and that comfortableness, and you have conviction. And to me, then there's the purpose and the boom, bada boom, bada boom, bada boom. So, where are we at? Nico. This dude is starting to realize how good he is. He could almost wear a cape and it would be okay, except how it looked. So, we chatted, and my mentoree now. So every month we chat, and he's bubbling, and he's full of joy as always. Like, I'm doing great, and why? And he's, I'm looking at everything. He's just a total pro you machine. And I'm like, there's not a lot of people that I talk to that sound like me. I just point that out. Care what person it is, how much money, where they live. There's just not a lot of people that can say the things that I can say, and Nico's probably the closest. When I first started talking to him, there were a couple things he was kind of hoping that were different, and those things aren't different. And he's still the best he's ever been, and he knows it. And he's just getting, it's all falling into place, and it's like easy. So homeboy's starting to kind of be artistic, and he's starting to paint with his Pro U tools. And it is like, and it's just a beautiful thing. Because again, obviously, you know, the dude produces my podcast, and he's a friend, and he's been around for 5.5 years. So yes, I would want all of that for him. And thus it filleth my cup. My cup runneth over. And I said, well, hey, one thing we haven't done has worked out in a while, so let's work out. So we set up a time to work out. And it was like, now this is not a guy that worked out and didn't know how to work out. And I'm like, okay, here's how, here's what to do, do that. And it was 6 things, do them X amount of time a week, and that was it. We hadn't chatted about that in a while. And it was just like that. He's like, well, you just told me what to do, so I just did that. I said, all right, well, let's show me what you did, and then I'll add some new ones. He just starts out, and it was just perfect. Everything he did was with perfect form, and I was like, this is, like, just pretty good. It was like, oh, my God, he's doing, like, perfect. And then there were, like, 2 things that he wasn't doing perfect. And both of them, I said, oh, when you're doing that, do A, not B, boom. Fixed it like that. And I'm telling you, I know when people do their homework. It's the 3 seconds tops, and I can tell. The other reason I know people do their homework is when I make an adjustment and they adjust it. Because they've been working it and working it and working it, and they got it all down. So you go, okay, here's one more thing you got to do this with. They're like, okay, I got the other 13 things down. I'll add the 14th. And I was just, and he did that. So I'm like, okay, now we're going to add. And we added some core stuff and some band stuff. And, you know, next thing, we just kind of had his workout area, and we're going through this thing, and he's just, and I was like, and it was like, oh, by the way, I am the best I've ever been, doing more than I ever thought possible. And this is just drum roll stuff for me. Nothing externally has changed in that dude's life, except he works from home. That's it. Happier, peaceful, more confident, more comfortable, more convicted. Just everything about that dude screams, I'm better. Same job, same apartment, same family, same income, same car, same old computer, which I don't understand. Nico, get yourself a newer computer. But just love, and how do I not love that story? Like, mentor him, and I love him, and he's just telling me how great he does, and then I say, let's work out, and he shows me how great he's doing and how much work he's putting into him. I mean, it literally, it just fills my heart. So Nico, thank you for being you, my friend. Thank you for being you. So I got 2 more. It was a weird moment, and I think it was after one of Mosier and I's deep chats. And we were probably talking about the whole, you know, trying to get water from the rock. And I was trying to get water from my, you know, father's rock. And I had to realize, look, there's no water there. 1. 2, you don't need it. Because 3, you have your own water. And, you know, because I talked about that whole, it is from within, like Nico, which we're just talking about. Where'd all that goodness come from? Same job, same apartment, same car, same everything. From within, waiting to come out. Just got to unlock it. You got to open it up. That's the hard part. Everything, everything that everyone needs, drum roll, lies within them. And you might be in a place in your life where you roll your eyes, which I get, or you just shut it off and don't want to listen anymore because I'm talking stupid. And I get that too. Or you're like, aha, wait a minute. That makes sense. So I thought back, I go, and all the things I was trying to fix, fill, mend, all the effort I was putting in to try to be like the person that people wanted me to be, fill the holes that they had, it wasn't about me. And that's like the sad thing, right? 55 going, hey, that wasn't about me. That was about them. Wow. You know that now? But like I got it. Like I was like, okay, the narrative written was that that guy and I should be close. We're not. Okay, I should try this so I can have that narrative. Okay, I'm going to try this. Okay, I'm going to try that. Wow, he doesn't seem to like me. It's something I'm not doing. I'm trying hard. I'm, you know, putting in hours cutting the grass and washing cars and waxing his car and, you know, just not getting in trouble at school and doing my homework. And I mean, I'm really trying all these things and I just keep, like, what am I not doing right? How am I not enough? Like, what more? Like, where do I get more? And I would see a kid at school be peaceful or a family. And I'm like, well, how did you get, I mean, what are you doing as a child that makes all that possible? How sad is that? I really did wonder what kids were doing that got that. Because I would do anything. It wasn't you, little Tom. Don't cry, but it wasn't you. But I grew. You know, that's the cool thing. I can sit here in my Zen garden in Hollywood with my dog named Zen, be the best I've ever been at 55 and a half, and have a podcast where I'm talking about getting through shit that I got through. That's why it was worth it. That's why I don't hate nobody. I'm not mad at anybody. You just all threw down some hurdles that happened to be not too tall. I got over those hurdles, and every one that I got over, I got a little bit stronger. Because at some point, I've said this a bunch of times on the podcast, I go, I have no real claim to fame. I just never gave up, and I never quit. But why? Why didn't I ever quit? Why didn't I ever just give up? See, there it is right there. That's whatever that was. That's why. It's just something I did not know, never really understood, still really truly can't identify. I just can say with, you know, complete confidence and conviction, I never gave up. I never quit. I was afraid and scared and alone and stressed and all the yucky stuff that you could feel. But I just never gave up and I never quit. See, that's what no one can take away from you. Like when people are like, oh, I was in prison and I was innocent. This dude was in prison for 37 years and he was innocent. Another black friend, another black brother, another African American. Convicted, boom. No fingerprints. He had witnesses. He was in another place. And he's like, don't care, boom, 37 years. So this person that was talking to him said, you know, 37 years. They had you in prison, 37 years of your life that they took away, but they didn't break you. And it was just goosebumps. Because there he was standing out. Nope. Like, how is there anything good about you being incarcerated for 37 years for something you did not absolutely do? You know what I mean? Like 100% obvious, proven you're not guilty, and you did 37, and you come out and like, it's like you have to though. This is what sucks, and here's the thing that looks good. What do you want to look at? I think when you stare at the thing that sucks, that's when you do quit and give up. Or you go, hey, they didn't break me. I'm still here. They didn't get inside my mind. They couldn't take that away. And that was it. What was inside my mind was, maybe there's better. Maybe you'll feel better. Maybe that dude's wrong. Keep fighting. You know, you always were found. You know, I found a, you know, a friend that was working out, or a friend that was in karate, or a friend that worked out, or, you know, and they'd typically be bigger, stronger, faster. So it was kind of like a big brother thing slash father thing, someone that I could kind of follow. And I always had enough of that. I was like, you know, I'm finding some people that see a little bit of good in me. And if they see a little bit of good in me and want to hang out, work out, kick, fight, travel, hang, I just start focusing on that part of my life, and that part of my life grew. And that's when I moved away. You know, you just see the whole evolving knowing. I need to go somewhere else where the people that I'm involved with see my value, because I believe I have value. And that's how it went. But see, now I'm at this place, you know, like, pretty good vista. You know, I climbed a mountain, and I'm up here going, dude, I'm good. Nothing else needed. But you have that vista. And it's like, I gained all that from getting through all that. I know all that I know from doing all that I've done, surviving all that I've survived. But a big thing now, it's like, you know, you could get in the muscle. That muscle I started working on at 7, you know, and there's other muscles I started working on when I was 40 and 50 and 52, and here I am at 55 going, man, I feel, you know, balanced. I got this really nice array of pro-U muscles, but I'm starting to see things. Like, little Tom, what's that got to do with you, that dude? Yeah, whatever, on paper. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about it. How cold would that be? To be like, yeah, don't worry about that. What do you mean? I'm 8. I like that guy. I would like him to like me. Yeah, he's not gonna. But it's not about you. I mean, what young boy is gonna believe that? Look, your father's an asshole. And he's gonna be an asshole, but you're fine and you'll be fine. I don't think the kid's going to go, okay, thanks, I'm good. That's all I needed. That should replace the fatherly love that I want. But it says, that's what you got, you know? And I see some people who got way worse hands dealt to them than I did. So I dropped to my knees, heart overflowing, eyes filled with tears, in gratitude for what I have, and especially today, whatever the date is, July 20th. I don't even know. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what date it is. But I've been around this earth for 20,207 days. That's what's important. That's what's important. And those days matter. And I'm making those days count, because I'm making those moments count, because I'm present. I'm staying present because I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for not all that I have. Because I have so much, I'm thankful for all I have. Because I'm thankful for all that I have. And I'm going to end with this story. This, you know, I'm not walking the earth, obviously needing a pep talk, needing someone to kind of, you know, shift my perspective, give me clarity, get me to focus on that which I can control. I'm good. I'm solid. I'm not even looking for a feel-good thing, but I'll take it. So I refer to him as my young protege, who's Jack, who lives at Topanga Beach with his mother, father that I know, his younger brother, younger sister, and his grandmother, Kathy Eldon, that I had on the podcast. And I get a text from Kathy, and she's like, I'm with Jack. And there's photos of Jack with a stone balance. And he goes, hey, Tom, miss you. I'm down here balancing stones with some friends, and I'm showing them how. I miss you. I hope I can see you sometime. Can you please text my mother? Or she goes, can you text my mom and arrange a time to come out and see me? And then next word, please. And I'm like... Because in my head, I'm like, okay, for a minute, you know, you hang out with a young kid and you're thinking, okay, they're going to move on, get busy, forget about you. Nothing bad. It's just that's kind of how you think. And every once in a while, I would hear from them. But I have not probably been to that beach in over a year, year and a half, like a long time. So I just go to Rincon now. It's easier. But I just don't. But I miss Jack. But again, one of those things where I'm not going to, you know, be reaching out to a 12-year-old kid, you know, trying to keep it going. And, you know, just you just kind of feel kind of weird. But when he reaches out and he's with his grandmother and what he said, I was so touched. And I replied and I said something like, you know, I'm just glad you remember me, kind of jokingly or whatever. And he sends this text back and he goes, Tom, I'll never forget you. Thank you so much for bringing this passion into my life. And this is the greatest part. He goes, I'm so glad that that one day I walked up to you and I introduced myself to you. And I was like, and I remember it. I told this story just the other day. It's like, he was, you know, this is a while ago. And like, no one really comes around me and they don't really come that close. But I knew the family and I knew the grandmother. I knew he's one of the kids. And he just kind of walked up and kept walking up. And he got within like a foot of the balance just on the other side. And I was like, okay, this is like most people are like, dude, this is like watching paint dry. And he was just like, you just turned an action movie on a big screen IMAX theater and he was in the front row. And I thought, simultaneously, this is just really trippy for this little kid to be this into it. And simultaneously going, this is so cool that this little kid is this into it. And I'm thinking, okay, he's going to watch it, build one, done. And then next time I saw him, built another one. Next time I saw him, built one, built two. And he's like, getting ideas. And then he's like, you know, can I do the sand? Can you help me with the sand? And, you know, what about, and then he started doing like dual stacks and, you know, doing like a teeter-totter bound. Just all, and I was like, look at that one. Like, you have like your own style now. But this was literally like 2 years ago. So for this to fast forward, and now we're at this point in my life where my cup is overfilled daily, getting this message, getting these photos. I was just like so, and that was like I shared it with a couple of people to kind of go, this is what I'm talking about. Come to my well by the water I sell. I've been washing my hands, not shaking hands, social distancing, slowing down, doing less, going less, all this stuff for years. And now the rest of the world is experiencing that, and a lot of people are suffering and struggling. And I'm rolling around like a pig in mud. Happy as can be. And then I get this message from this 12-year-old kid who's just becoming like, I just know I'm going to be in his life forever, however long that is. And then his grandmother, Kathy, is like, Tom, you're such a great mentor and saying super dope things. And I reached out to his mom and Jack's mom, and I said, hey, so, you know, can we possibly set something up, blah, blah, blah. And she said back, she goes, oh, what a beautiful bond you guys have built. And I'm like, okay, it's not just me. Like, people are cool with it, parents, grandparents, everybody can see it. And so I posted it, and all these people liked it, and they're like, oh, what a great thing you've done to this kid and how you affected him. And I was just like, wow. I was just like, that's, again, and this is kind of what I was saying to Scott. It was like, I wasn't needing something like this. I wasn't thinking about something like this. I know I was good. And I'm like, why am I getting this cool stuff? Why is this stuff coming? So I got one more. I got a text from my good friend Joe. And then I actually just forgot about this, but I'm like, oh, I want to read this. I love these little updates from people. And I love Joe. Hey, Tom. Always wanting to keep you updated, so here's a quick story. I was feeling dizzy last week. Real weird. Cold sweats, and I thought I might pass out. Called the doc and did some blood work. It turns out I'm about 15 pounds lighter and no longer need of my current blood pressure medicine dosage. Cut my medication in half. Doc said to keep it up and maybe in 6 months we could cut it more. Maybe even take me off it. The space between my ears is the best it's ever been. Let me quote you directly. Fact. Best shape I've ever been in. Fact. Best I've ever been. Fact. I remain, as always, grateful. Thank you. Hope you and Zen are well. See that new vibe I built? Built a new tribe. They sound exactly like me. I'm making clones, and I could not be more proud. Say my words like they're your own. Be grateful like I am. I dare you. I dare all y'all. I dare all y'all to deem yourselves worthy. I can see things I've never seen. I can see things people can't see. I get to see things people can't see and point them out to it, and they're not, they don't become defensive. They accept it. They understand where my heart's coming from. And I have purpose, so there's peace and there's contentment. I get to walk the earth, experience, and share. Like, I'm not the brightest dude, and that's really easy. So I can really dominate that little easy thing. You know what I mean? Like, if you just couple things, and you dominate those couple things, that's a great feeling. And if those couple things are pro you, look out. So I will leave you ask yourself this question: what does that have to do with me? If you, as soon as something comes into your head that's not making you feel good, that's tomorrow, that's yesterday, that doesn't serve you, that you have no control over, identify it, stop, pause, and then just, what's that got to do with me? Now, it might. You might get a phone call in a week or a month. Or you might get the news, or you might find, and then you got a deal. And you, I might lose my job. You might have to kind of come up with a backup plan or save money. I'm not saying don't organize, don't plan. But you can't sit here today and dwell on tomorrow. You can't sit here today and dwell on yesterday. It doesn't serve you. And I'm walking proof of that. My story is what's possible. I sit here now not thinking about yesterday, not thinking about tomorrow, and being very present. And it's amazing that effect has on my walk, my talk, and my ability to share with others. You are worth it. Different connotation. I thought maybe just, maybe try something new. Okay, bye. Your pro you moment. Stoked you're here. Stoked you're here every time you're here. Little things done consistently. Let's begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, legs crossed, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over your hips, navel tucked into the spine. Let's draw the inhale through the nose. Exhale out the mouth. We'll slow that down. Elongate it. To do that, we must focus on it. To focus on our breath, we are connecting our mind to our body, and that's going to keep us present, highly occupied. If something interrupts that thought process, that flow, just kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Congratulations on another little thing done, hopefully consistently. Come to my well by the water I'm selling. What I'm selling, I like me. I like how I feel. I like how I think. I like how I act. I like what's happening in my life. I feel like I'm vibrating at a higher frequency, attracting things that operate at a higher frequency. People, events, experiences, moments. And I think I'm able to do that because I'm staying present. And I believe in my heart I'm able to do that because I'm thankful. And I have less of everything than I've ever had. So yeah, that's what I'm selling for free. From within lies all that you'll ever need. It may take you time. It might make you uncomfortable. It won't be easy. It won't be quick. But if you remember you're worth it, you start today and you walk that walk, I am what's possible. My story is what's possible. Divorced twice, lost, afraid. Having a podcast and the best he's ever been. Having less than everyone he talks to, with no one really having the ability to speak as he speaks. There's value in that. And I did that. Not my father, mother, not my brothers, sisters, not friends. I didn't quit. I didn't give up. I kept asking for help. I kept searching for help. I kept growing. I kept learning. I kept my faith. I kept what was important in the forefront. I opened my third eye. I began to see things that other people couldn't. I began to feel responsible to point those things out to people. My value becomes more and more apparent every day to myself and those that I talk to. For that, I'm forever grateful. Nothing else needed. Can you say that? Nothing else needed in your life right now. Peace and God bless.